Okay, Ron, thank you so much. Thank you for the, thank you for opening the prayer and to realize that, we're still going on in these seven epistles, these last seven epistles of Timothy, and we're in the third chapter, and, we went through the, up through the ninth verse, I think it was last time, and, chapter 3 through verse 9 is, was the part of this chapter that was, talking about, the things that, how men were, concerning, their faith and their frustrations sometimes about not understanding or not believing God or not doing what they should do. And, we got down through 9, but I want to go back and read 8 and 9 again in order to get back involved with our study tonight. And our study tonight is 2:12, and like I said, it was said the other study or two back that I didn't have my numbers exactly right, but I'm still going on with what I had. So it'll be study 2:12 on the 6th day of December. And so we'll get involved, but let's go back and, I'll just read you from 7 through 9 because it's talking about man and how he is and kind of the falling away of from God's word sometimes. And it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth in verse 7 of chapter 3. And that's kind of the way it seems like the United States has been the past few years. And it says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. And certainly it seems like our problems is basically the truth. And the truth has always been the truth, but in a way now it seems like everybody wants to look at the negative of everything, and that creates a little problem. And I was outside getting my work done today, and I came in and I had the television on, and I wasn't watching it much, but I just had it on, and here it was on the news that University of Nevada, Las Vegas, had a shooter on campus, and that they had victims, and they wasn't really sure for a little while there, but they finally said, well, we got the perpetrator. They didn't say he or she, but they said that person is not alive anymore. But they still couldn't tell me, or didn't tell me, while I was getting a bath and getting ready to go, as to how many that they had found already. So, you know, that's another thing. It seems like we've got into such a negative deal, we can't get back on the truth anymore. It says, men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. And that was verses 1 through 9 that dealt with that. And then 10 through 13 is the subject that we're going to deal with next. And it talks about Paul's sufferings. And And so we're going to read about some of the things that happened to the Apostle Paul. But I don't think I can get but two verses through with the amount of scripture that I wanted to read. So we'll get started and maybe we can get that done. And we'll do it like we've been doing it. The study of wisdom and Jack Everly's Workman's Interlinear. And we'll pick up and do 10 first. And it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, and you could put my manner of life," but he didn't have to do that. He says, "Know my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience." And all that goes with the good things. That doesn't go with the lies or the misconceptions or the untruth that we have been looking at through the other 9 verses. And it kind of brought a little bit of refreshment to me because, you know, it seemed like every verse or two we were going through before, it just seems to get worse and worse. But here we go. And but we're going to look at Paul's problems. And Paul's problems was because of what he stood for. And he stood for the truth. And he stood for the cause of Christ. And this is what he taught and what he preached after he was struck down on the Damascus Road in the 9th chapter of Acts. And it went from there. And it followed him pretty much through the rest of his life. But here he is, and he gives 3 verses to remind Timothy of part of the worst times that he had during his ministry. And this is the reason I think we pick up on that, we get that, to offset the other 9 verses of the bad stuff that man is going through. And so I'll go ahead and read my note on verse 10. It says, but. It starts with but. And but can be the word for more to come. Because it's like you read one verse, but. He's gonna carry it on, but it's gonna be in a different light. Okay? He said, but more to come. Thou, he's speaking to Timothy, the letters to Timothy. And so he is writing to Timothy, but he is writing here through the auspices of the Holy Spirit. So I thought it might be good to mention this, that Timothy, it says Timothy hast or didst follow up, or he fully knew, or it was fully known of Paul's doctrine, which he calls my teaching. And I went ahead and put mine in some of these other places and it said my manner of life. And in the Greek, his manner of life in the Greek is agugi. And it means his instinct or his purpose from birth. Now, he didn't know what his birth was, I don't think, at that time, because he was a Jew of the Jew. He knew the law. He knew all about that stuff. And I think this was why that Christ chose him to do what he did. And he was doing it wrongly himself. as he went down this road with these, what we would call warrants, I guess, papers to lock people up. I don't know of a better way to put it than a warrant. Myself, having kept a bunch of them myself for several years, but his purpose was the next one after Manner of Life. And his manner of life was someone who did what he did with gusto, whatever it was. Locking these people up, he did it with all he knew how to do it with.
But 10%.
Yeah, but when he went, but when God straightened him out and told him what he was going to have to do, well, then he started doing that with that same fervor. He didn't change anything that way. So he did one with as much power as he did the other one with. But the powers were coming from the opposite place, you know. And so, so I think the word that he used there, was the instinct from birth. And then his purpose. What was his purpose? Well, we could go back to Acts and find out, but the purpose here, generally speaking, is being chosen and called by God and introduced into his family. And that is truly love upon love. Because if you go back to Ephesians, read the first chapter, first and second chapter of Ephesians, you will realize that he was brought in by adoption into the saints of God. Amen. He was chosen by God. God didn't, I mean, he didn't choose God. He was doing the things opposite of God. But when God chose him, then he realized, yeah, I got to change all this. You know, I've been going the wrong, when the road forked, I was on the wrong fork of the road. And now it is love upon love because, you know, he now realizes what God did through his son for mankind. And it was his job not only to tell the nation of the Jews about it, but to tell kings and tell the Gentiles. Oh, wow. A job that never ended. How could one that is doing this now in these buildings that they call a church get up and say, well, I've done this for a few years. I'm about to retire. Well, these saints of God that were chosen for this, they didn't retire. They went to their grave working. Here we are.
Yeah, I may retire from my job, but I don't see retiring from this job here until I absolutely can't do it anymore.
Are you going to lay down what you believe? No, not if you understand what it is. Okay, it's love upon grace. It's grace unmeasurable. And then he talks about, in 10 there, faith. Well, when you think about it and you look into it and you realize that we as Gentiles didn't have an appointed something give to us in the way of something, if you can hold it or you can keep it, kind of like our democracy is today, then you don't have any hope. You wouldn't have a hope if you couldn't. If you didn't come to God's word with enough faith till you kept it and you understand it and you worked with it and used it in order to have in the future life again with the hope of being part of the whole thing. And certainly that's what faith is. Faith is in fullness of truth. It's all truth. Not part truth and part something else, but it needs to be that the Holy Spirit don't have to interpret to the Son or the Father as to what your faith is. They know it. It's known by the Godhead. And it should be known by the Godhead. In fullness of truth and in long suffering. And so long suffering is kind of taking things as they come. And certainly that's something that Paul had to do. After he left Damascus and was gone for a little while and he came back and he stayed there for 3 years, he didn't have no trouble getting out and he didn't have no trouble coming back in because they didn't know that he was making a change within that time and coming to this understanding. And so they let him back in. But see, once he got there, then he started stirring these Jews up. And they said, well, isn't he the same one that come here with papers to take us and incarcerate us somewhere? And I'm kind of paraphrasing now. Right, but here we go.
So Lord, we know of this man.
Yeah, we don't want nothing to do with him. Okay. And so there was people there that really got upset about what they thought their faith was, which was the law. But when Paul got down out of the wall from Damascus and was able to move around again, everywhere he went, everywhere he journeyed, he preached and he taught. And he was doing exactly what the Godhead wanted him to do. He was the main man for this hope in that day, in that time. Now, we might call it latter days or whatever, but that's okay. And then finally, we get down to the word charity. And when you look at charity here, it is truly God's love, but it is an example. And the example here is directed through Paul toward mankind to show them the love of his holy Son and the work that he did, which is, we call it finished work, but it was finished to that point, but it's still not finished. It's still ongoing. And Christ is still in the saving business. And the Holy Spirit is that guide and that leader that takes you to the point of making the connection with the Son of God and what he did. Okay. There is two more words there. Patience is one. And patience is huponitho. Huponitho. And I guess that's not exactly right, but pretty close. And we have to do all this where the way is not to turn off men from seeing God in us. And with that patience there, it is a continuous waiting. And Paul had to do some waiting in the later part of his ministry after he got there because, you know, he was incarcerated himself, and then he got free, and then he was incarcerated again. And when Paul was bound down to a specific situation, that was never good for him, I don't think. He thought that that was the biggest hindrance of his whole ministry was the getting out and being able to tell others about the love of God and the cause of Christ. So the waiting, I think, was another problem. And, of course, Paul was making Timothy aware of, well, sometimes, son, you just gotta take it as it comes. You may not be able to instigate this, is my view of this, and I might be wrong, but the fact is that, you know, he thought Timothy was good about hanging back and finishing the work that Paul had started, and then Paul would move on and he'd leave Timothy back for him to bring, kind of to bring up the rear. And to get everything lined up right. So, the words that came back to Paul and so on were words of, that he could, grab and hold on to, because he always had these problems that followed him down the road. He had all this going on. So, that was verse 10 in my notes, and let me read you the Greek here, and let me get it up here where I can see it well. Verse 10 says this, out of the Koine, you indeed follow me, the teaching, the conduct, the purpose, the faith, the patience, the love, and the endurance. So, it isn't quite the same as the 10th verse in the King James, but it's all there. But this is the way that their language put it in to being. And I don't know if you could, and I could do any better than that on that particular part of it. But here's Jack's notes. He said, Dallas, Paul had received the comments concerning himself with full humility, but he now turns them into a point of exhortation. And here's how. You have seen my methods and attitudes and followed my teaching. Paul avers that they followed him in these respects. This should have been accepted as complimentary. And then there's about five or six places that we need to look at here. And see how all this fits in together. And we need to do that, and we need to go back to Acts. We need to go back to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts 11. And I think one of my places where I put notes in, it kind of got rolled off to the next page or two. But we're going to do Acts, where did I say? We're going to read Acts 11, 20, 25. And that's on page 1606 if you have a companion Bible. Acts 11, 20 through 25. And it says, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Full stop. Okay, so it said, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. Full stop. Okay, so they were preaching the Lord Jesus there, and then, but they heard that somewhere over in Jerusalem, it fell on the ears of them there, and it said that they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all with a purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added unto the Lord.
Don't sound like he was following the law too much.
No. But now 25 says this. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul or Paul. So he said, well, maybe there's something to this. Yeah. So Barnabas said, well, I need to go and see this Saul fellow, this Paul. And so that's kind of where it starts there, because that was right up his alley. So let's look at the next one. Let's look at Galatians 3. Let's see if I got it right. I think I did. In Galatians 3, we're going to look at 22 and 23. That's on page 1754. Two verses here in this one. And it says this, but the scriptures have concluded that all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which soon afterward be revealed. And I'll just go ahead and read 24, because it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Yep.
Woo! Okay, so here we are. So you see, after Barnabas and Saul, which is Paul, got together, it seemed like the solidifying of these two individuals together, and they got rid of John Mark, I think he went another direction. And for a while, and but they come to realize what the difference was between faith and between the law. And with the law, the Gentiles didn't have any promise, but if they were going to be ministers unto the Gentiles, they needed something of faith to show them that they had a hope. And that seems to be the way I kind of see that, seeing some of these, even some of these early writings. In Galatians is certainly one of them. And I really enjoy what Ronnie is doing there. Okay, I want to go on to 1 Timothy. I want to go to 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4. And we're going to go from verse 1 through 6. Part of it is on one page, is 1803, and then the rest of it is in 1804. 1 through 6 of 1 Timothy. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So you see, you have times and places where things doesn't work as well as they do at other times. So all these waitings and things that Paul had to put up with, the changing people's minds and all this was part of his thing that I think he had the way he came up from birth, he didn't have to wait on anything. But here, you have to wait on the Spirit to lead, guide, and direct. He says, "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believed and know the truth." Verse 4. It's on the next page if you have a companion Bible. "For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." And that's full stop. "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." And he's speaking to Timothy here too. Okay. So that's three places here that Paul has been notified and understood. But let's go from Timothy to the book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Okay. Hebrews 10. And we'll look at, not all of it, but we're going to look from verse 10 through 18. That's on page 1837, 1838. Faith chapter. It says, "By the which will we be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all? And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can ever take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting or waiting. Here's the waiting again. He now uses the word expecting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified or set apart. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more.
So I guess God can forget.
Yeah.
Or choose not to know.
Right. And it says, now when remission of these is, when all this is done, there is no more offering for sin. You don't have to go back, lay your hands on anything, and kill it. Use the blood to make a sacrifice.
We're turning back to the law.
It's paid. The debt is paid by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Okay. That's not the end of the story, though. There's a little more. Because we go to the book of James and Peter. Okay. We're going to look at James 5. Wait a minute. Is Peter before that? What do we got here?
It's James and Peter.
Oh, it's James. Okay, it's after. Yeah. Okay. We're going to go to James 5:7.
And Chico gets the assist.
Huh?
And Chico gets the assist.
Okay.
For those of you scoring at home.
James 5:7, be patient, therefore. So, here he brings this, James brings up the patient, person of, that God works patiently with those coming to the Lord. It said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rains. And he says in 8, be ye also patient, establishing your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So, here again is this situation of waiting. Patiently waiting. Okay, and then we're going to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, and we're going to read 3-8. And that's on page 1864. And it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Okay, the power of God and his will for mankind was that they were to have the all good things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So he said, okay, here's something else you can add to your faith, is virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You see, he went back and he put it, and Peter put it all together that way, and it says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, all these things, and Paul marked his out, and here Peter's marking his out, but they come out to be pretty much equal in that situation. Okay. And I need to go ahead and get back to verse 11, and I'll be talked out of where I wanted to get to. 2 Timothy 3:10. 3:11. Okay, out of the King James Version, it says persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Well, that's a mouthful too. And persecutions, and I'll read you my notes. Persecutions. And that's diogubimos. It means to answer a charge. Afflictions here are sufferings that comes from the charge, and it can be the word pathema. Paul says, which came upon me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And the persecutions here, I think is temptations. Yeah. So he's talking here about what he endured, and the temptations were these things that happened to him at these three places. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me from so great a death. From so great death. So you see, Paul tasted death. Okay, let's go back to Acts and start over again right quick. Acts 13. Acts 13, we're going to look at 46 through 50. We're going to look at two or three places here. 46 through 50. on page 1612 if you have a companion Bible. 46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So this was God's will that that's what they do, because God told Paul, when he chose him and blinded him, that the three things was be to his children, to kings, and to the Gentiles. Okay?
And a whole bunch of suffering.
Yeah. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. See? There ain't no, there just isn't any retirement plan here. God has the retirement plan already calculated out.
And even though the Gentiles were being grafted in, that didn't change the fact that had Israel accepted Christ, they would have been the channel of blessing to the rest of the entire world, right along with the grafted in Gentiles.
Right. So, it didn't really, but to them, it was a kind of burr under their saddle, so to speak. Okay, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Okay. Now, let's go to chapter 16. In chapter 14 to 16, 15 is a pretty good sized chapter. So we're going to go to 16 and we're going to look at, it was Acts 14. I'm sorry. We went from 13 to 14 first. I can't read my own writing. And we're going to look at chapter 14, verse 2. That's the reason I had two or three markers right there. And 14, 1 and 2 says this. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. See, that Satan always has his way of getting in and stirring up these things. Okay.
Unbelieving Jews were always the problem.
And now I want you to turn to a page, I believe it is, in 14 to verse 19. Okay. 19 and 20. That's on 16:14. Acts 14:19-20. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So, death couldn't take him until it was his time to go.
Stoned to death and whispered.
His time to go. Okay. Now, got just two or three more and we'll be done. We want to go from Acts this time to Romans. So, we're going to go to the next book of Romans. And I think we're going to look at, we're going to look at Romans 7, verses 5 and 6. And that's on page 1675. And it says this, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now," another "but now" pause, "we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were helped, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. For if I had known lust except the law, as said, thou shalt not covet." Okay, then we're going to go from there to Philippians. From Romans to Philippians, which is beyond Ephesians. We're going to go to Philippians 1. And we're going to look at 29 and 30. And that's on page 1775. The last two verses of the first chapter of Philippians. 29 says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me." And that is Philippians. And then we want to go back almost to where we were a while ago, and we're going to go to 1 Peter. Not 2 Peter, but 1 Peter. And we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. And we're going to be finished. It says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice." That's page 1855 if you have a companion Bible. "Wherein you greatly rejoice though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory, not at the coming, but at the appearing of Christ Jesus."
Amen.
And so that kindly gets the story almost full, but there's one more verse, and we'll pick it up next time and go with it then, because I have spent my time with the two verses prior to this, and I certainly enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it looking it up. And I thank God every day for being able to still do that.
Amen.
And praise his holy name that we can still do it.